sexy, huh?
Yes, we're ready. Tim, are you ready? Tim? Hello?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, I just want to make sure you were there. Didn't hear you.
What's up, bestie?
Hey, hey, Chase. How are you?
Good. Good.
You what? I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. You want to do this like in person? Like somewhere down the road rather than just by phone? Now that you get a little bit of a break with the schedule, you want to come see us?
That's right. Yeah, I'll meet you guys at Kitchen Notes.
Okay, if you'll do that, we will line that up.
Fair trade.
Because you know what? We need to get the Kitchen Notes too, just to be perfectly honest. If we do that in the near future,
we'll see
will
what
you
we
do
can
it?
Do.
I would love to come and do it in person, as long as Chase is still in town.
I will be. Don't worry.
I'm still in town.
I'm not going anywhere.
You going somewhere?
No, I'm good.
And stuff, you know what I mean? Sometimes he likes to go to Dallas.
Yeah.
Or Gatlinburg, air quotes.
Yeah, we had a good time in Miami. I mean, Gatlinburg. It was good.
Is this, okay, so let's start with what's, I guess, about to happen. I guess they're going to come to an agreement, right, now that it's going to be a player vote. But before we get into that, Tim, I want to see if you agree, disagree, where you are on what I'm about to throw your way.
Okay.
I think the league is very hypocritical about player safety with this new proposal. I also believe the players are very hypocritical about their own safety with this new deal that's about to happen. And here's why. If something is really the wrong idea, if something is really the wrong choice, like you should not do it, and we're here to tell you why, we know because we're the players. It's wrong. You shouldn't do it. Think about us and our safety and our health. You would never agree to it. So they're phony because they're going to agree to it because we all know why. And the league is phony because it's just always about putting out an image, but we know what's at the root of all of this. And so the whole thing is just phony. The whole player safety is phony on both sides, agree or disagree.
I mean, I think there are elements of it that can certainly make you skeptical. I think with like that logic, like then the feeling would be, okay, well, everyone should just be playing less and less, fewer and fewer games, right? Like if player safety were not an issue at all, and it was all just phony, then does that make sense? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can just be like, okay, we're gonna, like, I think everyone knows there are inherent dangers.
Well, taking away games, the new topic is, well, then we're also going to lessen your pay. And then, so nobody has any interest in that. Now you're talking about adding, and oh, by the way, your pay goes up.
Yeah. And so I just think that, I guess the way I would look at it is this. Is there like a massive, like, just CYA with, you know, from the NFL's perspective, do they really, really care? Or is it just the fact that we're just, you know, in this litigious society now and, you know, there's already a concussion settlement that's out there and all that stuff? Yeah, like that's driving it. There's no question. It's not like, you know, Roger Goodell, you know, can't fall to, you know, asleep at night because, you know, he's wondering, you know, how Rashad Evans is going to feel, you know, 15 years from now. Like, that's not, you know, that's not real. But I think what they're doing is like in an effort to protect the game and make things safer, you know, their motivations for, you know, quote-unquote player safety, you know, I think in many respects are intended for the health of the game long term, which, you know, in the same vein is helpful to the players long term. You know, from a player's perspective, look, you know the inherent dangers of playing. And so I think it's one of the reasons why guys feel like, hey, like we want to strike while the iron's hot in terms of, you know, make as much money as you can while you're playing. Because, look, I'm a pretty good example of somebody that, you know, didn't have a ton of wear and tear, primarily a backup, look, I'm more worn down at my age than guys that didn't play football. There's no question about it. So, you know, the guys, you know, someone like my brother or my father who played in a different era, like, yeah, like we definitely paying the price for playing. So, you know you're going to do that. If you can get compensated for it while you're healthy enough to do it, I think most people are fine with that.
But if you're totally against something because it's not the right thing to do, you would never agree to it. For example.
Well, here's the difference. Like here's the thing. Like, I saw J.J. Watt's thing, like, Hart, no, you know, when he saw the 17 game. He signed a $100 million contract.
Right,
you know,
he's
Richard
set.
Sherman's made a bunch
yes.
of money. Oh, Hart, no way. Come on, guys. But, like, you know, all these guys are talking about taking away preseason games. Guys like me, you know, like players that were in situations like me, I played 7 years. Guys that are in similar situations to me, they don't care about 4 preseason games. Like, if it helps you make the team, like, I'll play 8 of them. So, you know, like, I don't know. I just, the guys that you hear talk and make wave, like, if there's some, you know, the 50, you know, first guy on the roster, you know, put something out on Twitter where he's like, yeah, I don't care about 17 games. We're not running that on SportsCenter. You guys aren't talking about it. No one cares about what that player's opinion is. But the fact of the matter is that guy's never signing a $100 million contract. So if he can make another $200,000 in a season by playing one more game, sign him up.
Isn't that really the strategy of the owners,
of
Tim,
is to
throw the bone, a little pay raise for those type of players and
yeah.
the extra game,
well, think
the
about
roster,
this.
The roster expansion, which is likely going to be a couple of more guys like that.
How many guys in the league are on a first contract? What's the makeup? I mean, it's got to be high, right, on their first contract.
Yes.
So they mm-hmm. haven't made the money. So they're making up a big portion of that union.
And they're going to have a hard time sitting out 4 or 5 of those paychecks, right? They're less likely to say, listen, my window is small. I got to play I can play.
Even if you're not going to have a hard time doing it, right? Even if you're not going to have a hard time doing it. Like, let's say you're smart and you didn't go buy a $100,000 car. Like, let's just say you were smart about it and you're not going to be, you're paying all your bills. You could survive a lockout, right? It still may not be what you want to do. Like, so that's why I think, you know, the reality of the situation with these negotiations are that, you know, you don't have a very diverse set of guys in ownership. You know, for the most part, you know, all those owners are, not for the most part, probably unanimously, they're all flying everywhere privately. They're all, have family littered all throughout the payroll of that organization. Like, they are doing great, building, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, you know, homes, other places. Players, you know, on every team, you basically have 5 guys that are making all the money. The other, you know, 40-plus guys, like, some of them might think they're doing okay, but it's just such a small and short window. And so, you know, when you have guys like a Drew Brees, you know, who's, I think he might still be an executive committee member, but he's been a player rep. Drew Brees' perspective as a player rep versus, you know, Zach Diossi, you know, who was a player rep for the Giants and a long snapper. Like, they're going to be very different. Like, that's a much more diverse set of guys. Plus, it's, you know, there's more of them, you know. So there's fewer owners. They have more in common. There's more players and reps, and they have less in common. And so I think when that's the case, yeah, I mean, that basically if you were the ownership and you were going to negotiate, you know, at the negotiating table, your desire is basically divide and conquer, you know. And they always have success doing that.
Of course. I mean, they know that. They absolutely know it because there's not enough players that are in the position of saying, I don't care what happens. We'll wait and wait till we get the results we're looking for. There's just those players are few and far between, and the rest are like, Heck no, man. I just got married. Hey, we just had our first kid. Like, I need a check. Okay? I need a job.
Yeah, here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that happens. Like, you know, the players, that's why, like, the last round of CBA, you know, negotiations, you know, basically everyone was dying for the NFL to open their books, and they wouldn't do it. And, again, part of the reason they wouldn't do it is because, like, people would be, you know, appalled when they saw, you know, that Uncle Frankie, who's got a job in the marketing department but never shows up, what he's making. You know? Like it would have been nauseating to people. But yet, like, ownership can be like, oh, hey, yeah, you know, guys make $250 or whatever. There's an extra $100 million for players to make next year. It's like, wow, when the general public hears, wow, $100 million, and then they realize that it's, you know, about $3 million a team, or they probably never realize it's $3 million a team. Like, it's $3 million per team? I mean...
Right. It's like Bruce Almighty. You know, hey, I won the lottery. Well, so did 400,000 other people. So I won 17 mm-hmm. bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
So, look, and then, you know, there's stuff in there that I think certainly makes me skeptical. I mean, I don't, and obviously these are reports now, and you don't know what's just been leaked and actual and all that stuff. But, like, I've talked to you guys about this before, about, like, game checks, you know, how a guy contracts work. The fact that you would play a 17th game and then cap people at $250,000. Now, like, again, to the general public, it's like, wow, $250,000 for, you know, one game check? That's amazing. Yeah, but if you're a quarterback that's making, well, whatever, if you're any position player that's making $17 million in a given season, which is, few guys, but some guys are doing it, your game check is $1 million. The quarterbacks that are making $35 million a year, their game checks could be $2 million. And the NFL is going to cap them at $250,000, and then I think that you get into the playoff structure, and that's another thing that's amazing to me. I mean, you could legitimately, if the Patriots were a wild card team, you could have Tom Brady working for you for 4 weeks, and he'll make under $200,000 over that 4 week stretch and win a Super Bowl. Like, so, like, here's the deal. I mean, I think what everyone has to realize is that no matter how you shake it, the owners are winning. They're always going to win. Labor is labor to them. They don't really care. Look, you can make a good living playing football. You can change the trajectory of the financial situation for your family for a long time in many cases. But the reality is you are labor to them.
Yeah, well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
That'll never change.
Isn't that what's wrong with that? I don't.
Yes.
I mean, they're the owners. That's their business.
But here's how the baseball players union won back in the day, and it took them, you know, the better part of, I would say, probably two decades under Marvin Miller, who's now in the Hall of Fame because of what he did. They argued, Marvin Miller pounded into their heads, even the worker level, right? The guys who were barely in there, that it was worth sitting out because you are the product, right? The players are the product. It's different than some labor forces. Now, the NFL has been able to get by. They have used, you know, replacement players at times, and they went through it. But the ultimate thing was the players in baseball, all the way down from the superstars to the guys barely in there, to sit out as long as it took to get a better deal. And the football players have never been able to do that. They've never been able to really unify. Because you can't you couldn't have a whole season of replacement players, right? That wouldn't work.
Look at the XFL right now. I mean, the truth is, like, you know, everyone is going crazy over PJ Walker, you know, because, like, he's just kind of the best of what you got in that. But, like, I think that if those players were playing in, you know, the NFL in a replacement manner, people would lose interest, and then the owners would get nervous. You know, I do think that's what would happen. But the challenge you end up having, and, you know, Darren kind of made the point about the guys on their, you know, their first deal. So you just think about this. Like, let's say there was going to be a lockout this coming year. And let's say Dak Prescott, who's probably as much of a leader in that locker room as anywhere, is he cool with that? Because he hasn't made any money yet comparatively to other guys that can do what he does. And he would be in line to shoot probably you know, probably put at least $50 million in his pocket in the next calendar year. So how does he feel about a lockout?
See, that's the is, again, a difference between the mentality of the baseball players union, which is always the standard that everybody goes by. They were able to think about the future players, right? Not just for themselves, but I'm sitting out. I might have to take the sacrifice so that the next group coming up is going to reap the rewards. And that worked. And the football players haven't done that.
Isn't it about the longevity of the sports, though? I mean, your baseball career is much longer than what the average.
I think that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
The average football player's career is. I mean, the numbers are not comparable.
You'd have to be willing to sacrifice yourself.
I mean, your window is much shorter in football for your career than baseball. I mean, it just is.
Yeah, and I will say, and I think that there were guys, you know, going back. I think they were going back further. I think that there were guys that really did sacrifice, and there were the guys that were trying to sacrifice. But then there were star players that didn't, and that weakened the union. And then I think that what's happened is, you know, more recently, some bigger name guys have got involved in the union, which has been a good thing for the strength of the union. It's helpful to the NFLPA to have Drew Brees involved. You know, like it's helpful to have Richard Sherman involved. I think that, you know, the more you can have your stars be a part of it and have influence over it, and those guys willing to be sacrificial, then I think you have a chance. But, you know, and, you know, I don't have a list of the teams, but like most of the guys that, you know, have an I mean, there was a time where, like, the player reps were kickers, punters, and long snappers. I mean, there just was a time that that was the vast majority of the player reps. It was. And I think it started to change some. But, you know, you still – the players' union is not made up of a bunch of, you know, the stars of the league that – also have the non-stars in mind. That's just not the makeup of it. And I think because of that, it's why you see, you know, such fragmented voting.
More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side. Our weekly chat with him every Wednesday starting at noon. We'll be back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tim Hasselbeck with us here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. So, Tim, let me ask you one more on this whole labor situation. One thing that I know has been speculated is the 17 is a bridge to 18 eventually. Do you believe that the owners really do eventually want to get to 18?
I mean, if you're the owners, yeah, I think like why not, you know? I mean, that's just the same thing with, like, more, you know, an extra playoff game as well, right? Like, the more games means more people watching, means,
right,
you know, bigger TV deals. I mean, that's, I don't know, there's any question that's where it's headed. And I think that, you know, the crazy thing for the owners is it's like, okay, well, what do you have to give up? But what do you have to change to see those things happen? They're many of the things are things that, like, they don't care about. Hey, less padded practices in the off season. Okay, fine. You know,
easy.
We're gonna relax.
Done.
Marijuana testing. okay, fine. You got me. I think a lot of the things that you know the players end up getting in return, you know, are not that significant. I think where they do make roads, and it's, again, I don't think the fans and stuff necessarily really care about that, but it's like, okay, hey, you know, we bumped up the health savings account that, you know, you can earn for each credited season, or, you know, negotiated with, you know, hospitals in the areas of, you know, where NFL teams are located, and have negotiated, certain, you know, healthcare benefits, you know, at those specific hospitals. You know, I mean, I just, like, what are the true costs of those? I don't really know. I think those are the things that the owners probably don't want to be funding, but yet, you know, that's really ultimately where the players start to make some ground.
Would you be concerned in the extra playoff team making it that there would be too many years where a team at 8-8 or even 7-9 got in there?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the breakdown of the teams that would make it and stuff. I don't think I'd be that concerned.
Well, I guess I should say 8-9, right? That could be the record instead of 8-8. It could be 8-9.
But to your point, a sub-500 team, I don't know. I think you could see sub-500 teams, you know, make it, more often. And, you know, maybe it's because I remember some of these sub-500 teams in the current format, you know, winning on wild card weekend. But I don't know that that's, you know, such a bad thing.
It's more of a question of, does that team deserve to be in the tournament and have a chance to upset somebody? We know that it could happen, and it probably will happen again someday. Mm-hmm. If you won the division, you won the division.
Yeah, I think the fear, what it does is it makes the regular season less important. And I don't think, you just go back, you know, a few years when there were so many teams because of the way they were doing the schedule, that week 17 didn't matter, you know, and for some teams, week 16 and 17 didn't matter. And I just don't think that that's good for the game to kind of like have this whimper of the end of the regular season. I mean, you look at the way it's constructed now with these divisional games at the end of the season, they make them meaningful. I think the thing, if I were a fan, that I would be concerned about is that, you would lessen the value of the regular season games. You're making rosters bigger and stuff. Maybe, you know, you go to, you know, and not that you would see it like the NBA, but like all of a sudden, like, you're resting players because it doesn't matter as much. There's only one team with a bye. And so, you know, you're playing that first weekend anyway if you're, you know, the rest of the playoff teams. And then the international expansion of the game. Like, those would be the things that I would worry about. I think going to more games, you know, is obviously going to create environments where teams are going to maybe play, you know, some of those games other than in their home stadium.
All right, I got one for you. You're the general manager of the Jets, and I am a general manager of another team, and I come to you and I say, I will take the Le'Veon Bell contract off your hands. I want Bell. I'm not going to trade you anything else. I'll take the contract. Would you do it if you're the Jets? I see the quote here saying, you know, we're not shopping him around. But realistically, wouldn't that be a good move for the Jets? If you could make that contract disappear and start over, knowing what happened last year, would you do it? Or do you have faith that you'll get return on that investment?
I would just say this in defense of Le'Veon. I don't think Le'Veon did anything, you know, he was fine last year. Like, Le'Veon, I don't think, was really the problem, you know, for the Jets. You know, they had a quarterback that was out, a young quarterback that was out, and then when he came back, wasn't playing well right away. They didn't have very good receivers. They had some issues on defense. They were trying to make some other, you know, moves, you know, in the with their roster. I don't love his contract. I would entertain maybe somebody taking it off my hands. But I also think that Le'Veon Bell, like, he can have an MVP type of season. Like, he's that good of a player. He's that versatile of a player. He can be one of the three best running backs in the game next year. Like, he's that good. So, you know, in terms of, you know, keeping good players on your roster, I don't know that I'm just dying to give him away just to get his contract off my books. Like, I don't know that that's exactly how I feel about Le'Veon. Because I think that when used the right way, he's amazing. I mean, I remember Todd Haley, you know, when he was coaching him in Pittsburgh, saying if he wanted to be a starting wide receiver in the NFL, he could be. Like, he's that good, you know, isolated outside as a receiver or playing in the slot. And, oh, by the way, he's also a really good runner. So I just don't think there's a bunch of guys like him.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So as the combine is going on, let's start with Joe Burrow's hands, because I didn't think we'd be talking about that, but here we are. I think he's handled it well, of making fun of himself, the whole retirement tweet. I like that. That shows his personality. But why are people making a big deal out of his hand size?
Well, I will just say this. I'm in the camp that I think that hand size does matter for a quarterback. And, look, guys that, you know, I know, and guys that I, you know, was in the league with around the same time that, you know, handled a wet ball well or handled cold weather or, you know, they've made a number of changes to, you know, what, you know, like the conditioning of the ball. Like I, you know, my time in the league, like they were changing the, you know, what you could really do with the football. And, you know, obviously there's K balls, and then, so, you know, sometimes a kicking ball gets thrown into the mix and that feels differently than a regular ball. And, you know, so I just think that, I think it matters. Like when you go shake Brett Favre's hand and, you know, his fingers are up around your elbow, you're like, oh, okay. Like it kind of makes sense that you were able to do some of the things you were able to do.
Russell Wilson's the same way, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so it matters. Is it the end of the world if you have, I forget whatever it was, you know, 9 1/4 hands? No. And I think some of the way they measure your hands is a little bit misleading. They basically put your hand down flat, like on a table, and they measure it from, you spread it out, and they measure it like across your hand from pinky to thumb. That's how they measure your hand. And, you know, so I don't know that necessarily tells you everything you know about a guy's hand size and how he grips the football and all of that stuff. But I will tell you, like, it does matter. I mean, just, like, you can't say that. Now, is 9.5 plenty? Sure it is. You know, if you're under 9 inches, is that probably an issue? Yeah, I think that it would. I forget what mine measured at. Like, I think just over 9 inches. And, yeah, there were times like playing in New York or being in some of these cold situations that, yeah, I mean, I would have loved to have 10.5-inch hands at that point. So, look, Burrow is right. He played high school football in Ohio. He's probably, you know, between how he grips the football and all that stuff, I'm sure he manages it fine. But I do think it can be a legitimate thing.
So size matters.
Of course it does. I mean, I had a comeback that would not be appropriate. Probably get us kicked off air.
We're all children, Tim. We are all children.
Yes, we are.
What? Never mind.
I'm trying to move on. How? What did you think of how he handled the questions about whether he wants to play for Cincinnati? He gave the, I'll play for whoever drafts me, and that he's not assuming anything. What did you make of all that?
I think it's the right answer. You know, I saw Mel Kiper have some comments that I think in many ways are true. You know, people look at the Bengals as if, like, they just have never had success and it's impossible to win there. I mean, like, Marvin Lewis had them for a while as, like, a perpetual playoff team with Andy Dalton. You know, and so are they, you know, as committed to winning as, you know, other teams appear to be? Look, I think you make the argument they're not, but I think you could say a similar thing for, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. I think you could say a similar thing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think you could say a similar thing, you know, to, you know, about the Houston Texans. I mean, I think there are a number of teams that you could question, you know, their, you know, how they are structured and set up to be absolutely committed to winning a Super Bowl. Like, I mean, wouldn't you guys agree that there are a number of teams that you're like, okay, yeah, the way they're set up is not quite, you know, as aggressive as the way the Philadelphia Eagles are set up to win one, or the New York Giants are set up to win one, or the New England Patriots are set up to win one, or the Seattle Seahawks. Like, I think that there, you could run down a number of teams that are not resourcing and, you know, efforting winning a Super Bowl, you know, or as committed to it as others. But that doesn't mean like guys wouldn't want to go play for them. So, And I also think this, it's no different than Eli. Like, it really wasn't Eli's decision. Like, it wasn't Eli saying, hey, I'm not going to go play for the Chargers. Like, it was people around Eli that felt like it was going to be the best thing for him not to be there. And he agreed with the plan. But it wasn't his personal feelings on it. I just don't know that there are people around Burrow that are like, hey, Cincinnati is just a no-go.
The coaches and GMs get a chance to speak, you know, at the combine. Matt Rhule said he absolutely expects Cam Newton to be on the roster at quarterback. You buying that? You think that he is going to be the guy under Matt Rhule, or is it still too early?
I think that it's actually a good situation for Matt Rhule to see what he has in Cam Newton. Can Cam get healthy? And if he's healthy, you have a guy that played at an MVP level before, and he's basically a discount because I think he's going to cost them under $20 million this year, right around that number. So, you know, to put it in perspective, you know, Ryan Tannehill is going to cost much more than $20 million a year, I think. So, you know, you start to just look around the league and you go, okay, well, what are other quarterbacks make? I mean, Jameis Winston could be in a situation where, you know, he's getting close to $20 million a year. Potentially more than $20 million a year. So I think if you had Cam Newton in your first year as a head coach, if you had Cam Newton as you know, your starting quarterback at that price, to see if he was healthy and see how he fit with your team, I would take that.
Still think Tom Brady's 0% chance to Nashville?
Zero.
Zero.
Damn.
Zero.
Sticking to it.
.0.
Because here's how I would look at this, like in a number of different ways. I think from a football perspective for the Titans, like from a football perspective of like what you're doing, like does it really make a bunch of sense for them?
For the Titans?
Yeah.
Makes a ton of sense.
Really?
Ton.
He said from a football standpoint, not business.
Okay. From a football sense?
Yeah, I'm saying from a football perspective. Yeah, from a football perspective.
Yeah, it still make sense. It's not to the level of where when I think of everything, the big picture.
Jared, admittedly, you are a whole package kind of guy.
I am the whole package.
You love the idea of the tickets, the hype.
The attendance. Everything. Everything that comes with it.
Right, so a couple of things. Okay, one. He would definitely generate more excitement here than re-signing Ryan Tannehill, which is, I think, what happens. But then re-signing Ryan Tannehill definitely generate more excitement. You know, I don't know what the ticket sales situation is currently for the Titans, but like
you go to games, Tim.
It's not what it should be.
You know what it is.
No. But that doesn't mean that people aren't buying the tickets. Means they're not coming.
No, they're not buying them. No.
So they're not buying them. All right. So listen, it would change the ticket situation.
Titans fans. Tim, Titans fans. Now, that the problem is they get the good attendance whenever 25,000 of the opposition.
That's the only time
comes.
They have a sellout. There were plenty of home games that were not sold out last year.
But
including
like
the biggest one of the year against
the Jacksonville
Texans.
And Houston bring nobody, you see what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, and so my question is, you think if Tom Brady's a quarterback, when Jacksonville comes to town, that place is sold out?
Sold out. Okay. Sold out.
Yeah, and you may be right about that. So for how many years? 1 or 2 years, maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so for 1 or 2, so is it worth that level of commitment for 1 or 2 years?
Me?
That's part of the question.
Yes.
Yeah, and from a football perspective, does it make you better, you know, in the long run as your football team, and even in the short run? Like, I couldn't guarantee you that Brady would play better than Ryan Tannehill next year. Like, I don't think you can guarantee, especially in that offense. And then I think, so that's the team's perspective. And I understand what you're saying from, like, a team's perspective and the total package and how it impact finances, it makes sense. All right, from Brady's perspective, here's the deal for Brady. I think everyone is looking at this like it's some type of football decision. I don't think it's a football decision at all. I think this is a family and business decision for him, and that's it. I think it's a completely selfish decision, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it is a family and business decision, not a football decision. Like, if it was a football decision, he'd just stay in New England. I want you to stay in New England. Hey, get me some more help here. You're with Belichick. If it was football, that is what he would do. He cares about the market that he's in. He cares about TB12. He doesn't have an Instagram post that does not include TB12.
Sure.
Like, it is about the business, and it is about where his family wants to be. Like, it's those two things. I don't think that Nashville's a big enough city for him. Like, I don't think it makes sense for him to bring TB12 and put one in Cool Springs. Like, that's not what he's looking to do.
Okay. Like,
now, he'll put one, you know, in Beverly Hills. Like, I don't see why there would be any desire for him.
You're not factoring in you don't factor in the Vrabel relationship at all? I mean, they're very tight.
No.
No? He doesn't have that now. You don't think he wouldn't mind
which
being
might be
tight
a good thing
to his coach, but at the end of his career, you don't think he wouldn't mind that?
No, I mean, I think that's fine, but because guys are, you know, former teammates and buddies, like, you're going to go sign there? The other thing is, like, so if you're the Titans, what are you willing to pay him?
Well, we're also not, let's not pretend like the Titans finished 4-12, and they're not, I mean, they did knock the Patriots out of the playoffs in Foxborough. The Patriots did come here last year, and they waxed them in the regular season.
Right, so if you could go play in L.A., if you could go play for the Chargers, at $40 million a year, you know, or the Titans at $40 million a year, what do you think he's doing?
If you said it's just strictly about his bit, like TB12, if you're asking about the better team, I mean, it's not, to me, the Titans have more talent than the Chargers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's looking at it like, oh, this better team.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Yeah, okay, if he doesn't matter.
So I guess I would say, do you guys think Brady's trying to make a football decision?
I don't pretend to know what Tom Brady is thinking. I don't know Tom Brady.
I don't think he's making a football decision. Like, the football decision is you stay in New England. That's the football decision.
Sure.
Like, there isn't a team that's won more than them. Ever.
Agreed. No
Ever.
Question.
If you're making a football decision, you stay in New England. I just don't think it's a football decision. You know, and so whether it's his family doesn't like living in New England, whether it's, you know, the desire to go kind of expand the TB12 brand, you know, and all of that, like, I think that's what's driving it.
Boy, this show, this weekly chat is going to be a lot of fun if he comes here. Man, is it going to be fun.
0%.
Wednesdays at noon. Man. It'll be fun.
So tell me this. You think the Titans would rather sign Brady than Tannehill?
If you're asking me, would John Robinson or Mike Vrabel rather sign Brady or Tannehill? Yes, Brady. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Sure do. Without a doubt.
Interesting. I'm not sure.
John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, that's a yes.
I don't think you can say that with certainty.
He's 43 years old. He's going to be 43 years old. He can't move.
I'm with Tim on that one. I don't know if it's a clear-cut yes. If he were 39, then I would say clear-cut yes, but not 43.
I think the big question is, who has bigger hands, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill?
That is a good question.
We need those measurements.
Brady, listen, when Brady used to compete in that quarterback challenge, he used to wear gloves.
A new layer. A new layer you just added to this.
Mm-hmm.
Tim,
mm-hmm.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Good stuff as always. You have a great week,
hey,
and we'll do
way,
it next one.
The chances of me meeting you guys at Kitchen Notes is much better than 0%.
Good.
Oh, that's good.
Very good. Right. Now that's ending on a high note. Good.
Yeah.
A kitchen high note.
Whoa, see what you did there, Willie. Thank you, Tim. We'll come back, and Elijah gave Willie the big thumbs down, and I think he's booing. We will come back and wrap up the third hour next. Chris Mason coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk a little hockey with him. Thought that was an interesting discussion. Look, I'm not being phony about it. It's the whole package.
He's staying at zero.
He is staying at zero.
He's staying at 0%.
The reason I say I'm not being funny about it, because it would be great for what we do, man. It would be great for what we do.
But you are influenced by that.
It's part of my package. I have a package deal. It's not a, here's some film. Here's some film of TB12.
Right. Okay, but let's take that from a practical standpoint. When you're saying, right, you're influenced by what Brady could do in the short term for the lifeblood of the franchise, the value of the franchise.
I guess I don't believe.
I can say that, hey, if you can't sell out your games after you go to the AFC Championship
pack
game,
it up and leave.
With the momentum they had at the end of the season, then come on, what are you doing?
Get out of the business.
The problem is you. The problem is not your players.
No question. Get out of the business.
I agree. So,
and to me, I don't think we would be having that discussion.
But there have been examples in sports where the owner goes to the GM with your approach to say, hey, man, I heard that Brady could be out there. Let's go get Brady. But even if you come back as the football guy and say, hey, Mr. Owner, I don't think this is a good idea. He's 43, and I like what we're doing with Tannehill. I'd rather go with
the owner has never influenced any decision with this franchise before. Never. That has never happened before.
Really?
Well, that's never happened in sports.
Never happened in sports.
But, I mean, I guess that theoretically could happen. Amy Adams, Strunk does not strike me as a person that would do that. I wonder if that's crossed your mind. But you said something interesting. I just don't know if I agree that Robinson and Vrabel, if they had the choice, would say, I will choose Brady at 43.
With no hesitation? Zero.
I don't know. I don't buy that. I do not agree with that. I do not. There's a lot to be said for the chemistry that they had as a group. That was a top 10 offense for 12 weeks. Now, it is what it is, right? It's 12 weeks, but they were really rolling there.
And you don't think Arthur Smith could get it done with Tom Brady?
I didn't say that. I said I have seen him get it done for 12 weeks with Ryan Tannehill.
Let me ask both of you.
I haven't seen what it looks like with a 43-year-old Tom Brady.
Let me throw out another
theory. Who's never played for another team in his life.
And a guy that likes a lot of control.
Just to stir it up a little bit more. Okay?
Stir it up.
Keep stirring, man.
So, what else has happened this offseason? Dean Pease has retired, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have hired whom again?
They have not hired a defensive coordinator.
Well, they haven't hired a defensive coordinator.
They have a committee of coaches.
So, it's going to be a committee or maybe the head coach.
Vrabel is still figuring that out.
Yeah. That's not... But you know what will be interesting? What will be easier for him? If you bring in a guy like Tom Brady to concentrate a lot more as a head coach slash more on the defensive side of the ball, is if you had a quarterback like Tom Brady. And basically, he tells Tom Brady and Arthur Smith and everybody else on the
other
side of the
ball.
Why does
he need Tom Brady to do that? Does he not trust Arthur Smith?
Well, because I think he trusts Tom Brady's been there, done it for 20 years. I mean, you don't need to tell the offense what to do.
Okay.
Or stick your head in. We know he's very hands-on.
What'd they do last year?
I don't really buy that either.
You don't think Vrabel has admitted he checks and he's always in all the meetings.
That's fine. He's not going to stop doing that. That's his makeup. You always talk about makeup of people. That's his makeup.
Maybe true. Especially if he's very close
and
to somebody.
I don't have a problem. Well, okay. But he's going to do that anyway.
Maybe so.
But I also think that a part of him possibly being the defensive coordinator is he does trust Arthur Smith, and so he doesn't have to be as hands-on with the offense. He can still check in as the head coach, as he should. The head coach should know what's going on. But he can trust Arthur Smith to run the offense a little bit more now. I don't think it has anything to do with Brady. Sure, Brady adds a different element. Guy's done it for 20 years.
You guys don't think Mike Vrabel was calling out Marcus Mariota. He was calling him out. What was he calling him out about at training camp that we sat there and talked about every day?
What does this have to do with Marcus Mariota?
Being more vocal?
He's out. He's gone. Yeah. It's a different
because
situation.
Because maybe that's
now.
What he would like
no,
his quarterback
for
to be.
A couple more weeks.
Maybe he wants his quarterback to be very vocal. Maybe he wants his quarterback
right.
to
That's got nothing to do with Marcus
that's what
Mariota
he liked.
Anymore.
And what did Tannehill do?
Tannehill did a really good job. He did obviously a lot more.
So what's the issue?
Than Mariota. He was much more vocal than Mariota.
Listen, I completely hear you on this whole Brady thing. And if that turns out to be the case, if Tom Brady's the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans next year, let's go. Okay, well, it'll be good. We'll all talk about it. It's great for the show. It's great for the city. It's great for the organization, yada, yada, yada. But I don't think Ryan Tannehill coming back is bad either.
No, nobody said it was bad. Who said it was bad?
No, I'm just saying.
Did I say it was bad? Is have I ever said, oh, crap, if they get stuck with Tannehill,
you've taken one side. I mean, you voted what you would rather have happen, and that's fine. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that neither one is going to be wrong.
Have I said either one's going to be wrong?
No, you've just been very pro-Brady.
Okay. That's what you do in sports talk radio. You take a side. You don't waffle back and forth. You don't change your mind every day when the wind blows. You pick a side and you go with it.
And
What's wrong with that?
And I have said that I think Tannehill. Stick with Tannehill.
Okay. But nobody has said one is the right answer and one is the wrong answer. Nobody has said that. Nobody said the other one is, oh, crap. I haven't said that. If they end up with Tannehill, then okay. So be it. I've given you my reasons on why I think Tom Brady is. I think what's interesting about this conversation is none of us, and I mean none of us, all of you out there listening that have your opinion as well. And that's the beauty of this topic, because it's pretty interesting. You don't go, I really don't have a side. You've picked sides. You've chosen. But none of us really know how this is going to play out. Like, everybody, for the people that are pro Tannehill, you would give all your reasons of Tom Brady's old, he can't move, and this and that. So you're going to go down that path, right? But you don't really know how Tom Brady's going to do. I mean, there's been no falling off. It's not like we have this, gee, what are you guys talking about? The Patriots went 4-12 last year. They went 7-9 the year before that. He's throwing picks all over the place. It's not like he's hit his wall, proverbial wall, right? So we don't really know.
I do worry about
know.
The arm strength.
We don't really know. I mean, great quarterback, arm strength. Tom, you're not signing up Tom Brady to throw the ball 55 yards downfield, okay? That's not what you have Tom Brady for. But on the other hand, all the stuff, if you have pro Tom Brady, the people are going to say, well, Tannehill, well, great, 13 games, okay? What? Prove it for a full year. Prove it for 2 years. But he's got no proof of that. Tom Brady does. Tannehill does it. What I'm getting at is none of us really know how it's going to be. You may pick a side, but you don't have a clue if Tannehill's going to come back and be good next year.
I never said I did.
You have no proof of that other than 13 games this past season. That's it.
I agree.
Nobody was jumping through hoops other than me when they signed a legit backup quarterback. It's not like this town went crazy when they traded for Ryan Tannehill. Nobody went nuts. You know why?
No, the people
because
were
there's been
intrigued.
No sign for you to go nuts over Ryan Tannehill. So he was lights out and spectacular last year. Well, okay. You know for a fact he's going to come back and do that again next year. You know that for a fact.
You know for a fact that Brady's not going to fall over the cliff.
And that's the beauty. That's my point.
Right.
No, I don't. That's the whole point of this conversation. None of us really know what's the right answer. We just have an opinion.
But one person has played in the system with most of the players that are going to be there again next year. It's a little bit more of a known quantity than I think.
So Ryan Tannehill can come in and come in midstream and do that, but yet Tom Brady couldn't come in and be just fine?
All I'm saying is it's a different formula. The formula they hit on with Tannehill is the formula they're going to go into next year. They have a feel for that formula. If they were to go the route of Tom Brady, the formula changes. Would you agree with that? Doesn't mean they
of
can't
course,
come up with a good formula.
The
there's a big
but it's
part
a
of the formula that changes.
Mariota
right
and Tannehill
now, right
were
now
the
they
same.
Know their formula. They're not going into the lab and trying to come up with something. They're saying if Tannehill's our quarterback, we have a formula that has worked for us. It's a matter of developing that formula, you know, continuing to evolve that formula. We got to go into the lab with Brady. How do we use him?
So when Baltimore had Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, they had the same formula?
They had to completely change the formula.
Right. Wow, they did it.
They
amazing?
Did do it. Yeah, they
no,
did.
They had a formula with Joe Flacco on how to win.
Yes.
And then they had to scrap that and come up with a new formula for Lamar Jackson. Wow. And then And amazingly, it worked.
Yeah, it did. Does it always work for every team?
It's how did that happen?
Does it always work for every team?
I mean, so they had to scrap one way of doing business for a completely different way of doing business. And imagine that, it worked.
But what's been the constant part of the formula for Brady his entire career? Bill Belichick.
Yeah, he did one uniform,
of course.
One system.
No doubt.
And look. If he comes here and lights it up, then he's going to solidify his legacy even more. Not that he has
it's
to do that.
It's not changing Tom Brady's legacy.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Not that he has to do that, but it's going to just prove, okay, he can do it with Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel.
If he came here or anywhere else other than New England and fell flat on his face, it's not changing his legacy.
The other thing that Tim brought up that I don't think we've discussed very much is the whole, you know, the broad picture of if he were to leave. He said Tim's – in the 0% thing is, mm-hmm. if it's just about football, he should just go back to the Patriots. If it's more than that, then is Nashville where you want to be, or is it L.A., the TB12, the development, you know, almost looking a little bit into life after football, his family, where does he want to raise his family, where does his family want to live, all of those things. I would, if that is part of the thinking, then I'm not sure if I'm the Titans that has me going, yeah, I want Brady.
I have no idea whether Tom Brady wants to raise his family in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, or Nashville. If it was something other than Foxborough, I would have no clue what he thinks. He wants bigger. I mean, Las Vegas, I don't know how many people are like, yeah, I'd love to raise my family in Las Vegas. Right there on the Strip. That would be great. Drew, what's up?
What's up, fellas? I want to kind of play Switzerland if I could. I feel you, Darren, because Tom Brady is definitely proven. I'm with you on the unproven deal with Tannehill. That's been my thing amongst my friends, and when we discuss what the Titans should do, I'm on board with franchising him. I'm not on board with bringing Brady, though, because I think that 20 years is 20 years. And when a guy doesn't look the same from a standpoint of his dominant self, now he still looked better than maybe 20 quarterbacks in the league, but he didn't play up to the par of what he's been normally accustomed to doing. So if I'm the Titans, I franchise Tannehill a year to make him prove it, maybe find a nice quarterback in the late rounds like a la Baltimore. Since we're a copycat league, you find that diamond in the rough that fits your system, and if Tannehill doesn't work out, you got that guy to train. I think that's really the discussion that we should be going down, but I think we're not doing that because we're so – and now with the fact, with the rumors, oh, Tom could come here, we got better weapons. And yeah, while we do have better weapons, one of the things I think we've forgotten, the Titans really kind of backed into the playoffs. If Houston plays their starters, who says they get in the playoffs? Not taking anything away from the run. The run was great, but we got to be realistic. If Tom could be that missing piece to take us to the Super Bowl and you got the chance to do it, I mean, for that 1 or 2 years, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm with Hasselbeck. I just don't think it happens. Not because it's not possible. I just think that all the factors that big name guys like Tom Brady considers will maybe X us out of the running for it. Though we have such a great team, though there's a relationship with the coach, I think it's much bigger than that.
All right, Drew. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. It's a fascinating topic. It really is, and I suspect, I guess we're going to know the answer here sooner rather than later.
March 10th is a big date.
It's not like we're going to sit here and talk about it for 4 months. We're going to know.
March 10th is a big date. That's the last day they could use the tag on yep. Tannehill. If it goes past March 10th and they choose not to use the tag, then
game on.
I did hear Floyd say yesterday that they can tag him and rescind it. I didn't know that. I didn't know they could do that. So
as long as he doesn't sign it. I guess
as long as he doesn't sign the tag.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. Fourth and final hour. We start it with Chris Mason next.